Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Más, la nación de Savage, solamente aquí.
Over the next few months, eligible in and apply for work authorization. This is not a path to citizenship. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, patriotic young people. It is the right thing to do. Excuse me, sir. It's not time for questions, sir. Not while I'm speaking.
Well, you know what happened. The president has become a dictator, as I warned you, in trickle-down tyranny. Many of you believed me. Many of you understood me. Many of you know who he is. Many of you know that we have a gang running the United States of America. Many of you know that we have foreign powers manipulating the presidency. And many of you are too dumb to even be citizens. You shouldn't even have the right to vote. To listen to this clown call 900,000 illegal aliens talented and patriotic is enough to make you crazy. You mean he personally knows that all 900,000 to a million of the illegal alien children are all talented and all patriotic? Tell that to the people killed by the gangbangers. Tell that to the people who are putting up with the illegal aliens running amok in this country, destroying schools and hospitals like locusts. Now, you know where I stand because this is my issue. It has been my issue since 1994. I have talked about immigration in detail since 1994. I am the son of an immigrant. I certainly believe that immigration can be important to a nation. I do not believe it's important to this nation. Moreover, the most important distinction that you're going to hear today is the difference between legal and illegal immigration, number one. But let's pause at that note for a second. You have the president of the United States breaking the law, joining lawbreakers, saying lawbreaking is okay. So you say, well, okay, we know who he is. We know that the man is an illegitimate president. We know that he doesn't side with the Constitution. We know he doesn't side with the law. We know he has dictatorial tendencies. And we also know that there's another party that is silent. The real question here is, where are the damn Republicans? The real question here is, where is damn Mitt Romney? The answer is nowhere. And the answer is, my friends, blowing in the wind. Mitt Romney will not be president because of this tepid response to Obama's seizure of power. Mitt Romney has abrogated his responsibility as the chairman of the opposition party. Mitt Romney shows absolutely no regard for the people of the United States of America. He is absolutely indistinguishable in every way possible from Obama. There is no difference between the two parties. I have warned you we are living in an oligarchy. I've told you that for over 15 years. Before you even knew what the word oligarchy was, I was explaining it to you. I told you it's a one-party system. I told you they were Democrats or Republicans. Did you hear what Mitt Romney said about this seizure of power? Because I'll tell you right now, if I were running for the presidency and I was as prominent as Mitt Romney, I would have called for his impeachment today. Not called for it, I would have demanded that the Republicans vote on impeachment today. That they should have impeached Obama today for violating the Constitution and running around the Congress. I've never seen anything like it. The silence from the Republicans is overwhelming. And I believe that Romney's pandering to the Hispanic illegal aliens tell you everything you need to know about the Republican Party today. Now, I can ask you a question, which is, would you still vote for Romney if he refuses to denounce Obama's backdoor amnesty plan? You know he's not going to denounce it. Does Romney have a capacity to rally the conservative base against Obama? The answer is no. You see, here's the problem. Romney is making the mistake of believing that you, the listener, who is conservative, will vote for him no matter what he does or doesn't do, that you have nowhere to go. That's the same mistake McCain made in 2008. It's the exact same mistake because Romney is being run by the very same power brokers that ran McCain off the road in order to elect Obama. And I am convinced that this is a fix. I am convinced that Romney is a fall guy. I am convinced that they all know Obama's going to win a second term. I'm convinced that Romney knows it as well. Because I'll tell you something else. Most people never heard of Mitt Romney. They don't even know who he is. You know because you're politically oriented. But if you take the average schmuck, the average moron with his hat on backwards, the average putz, the barbecue, or the shorts guy, the ball-playing idiot, the schmuck who knows who scored what, the idiot with the 49ers jacket, he doesn't even know who Mitt Romney is. Because Romney's invisible. What does Romney stand for? Nobody knows. Nobody ever heard of him. They don't even know who the guy is. So you have an imperial presidency. You have a man clearly violating the Constitution, abrogating his rights as president, spitting in the face of the law and order of this land, pandering to illegal aliens as though they are citizens, calling 900,000 to a million illegal aliens talented and patriotic young people. It's enough to make you sick. The talented and patriotic young people are in the military. Those are the talented and patriotic young people. That we know for sure. Not an unknown mass of a million people. Now you understand why Eric Holder has been suing the states that have tried to enforce their voter registration laws. Now you understand that this has been carefully orchestrated with the Republican Party. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'll never be able to prove it. But because of the loud silence coming from the so-called Republican Party, I am convinced as I stand here that Obama traded something with the Republican Party in order to get this grant of amnesty for the million illegal aliens. I'm positive something was traded off. Otherwise, there would not be a loud silence on the other side. There would have been a cry for his impeachment. And mark my words, had the Republicans stood together and said, we are going to impeach the president for violating the Constitution. We're going to call for the removal of Janet, whatever her name is, Napolitano, for this and other acts of misdemeanor level. Believe me, there would have been an outcry in this country that would have resonated from Maine to Mexico. Where are the Republicans today? Have you heard one word from any of them? Don't know. Now, Mitt Romney said something. He said nothing. He lobbied. He went in circles. Play Mitt Romney for me. Go ahead.
I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered and should be solved on a long-term basis so they know what their future would be in this country. I think the action that the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution because an executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents. I'd like to see legislation that deals with this issue.
And I get nauseous. I get nauseous listening to Mitt Romney. I can't stand middle-of-the-road people like him because they're more dangerous than extremists. The middle-of-the-road people will get us whacked out faster than an extremist. A guy like Mitt Romney can get run over by a foreign power faster than an extremist of the left or the right who might stand for something. Romney stands for nothing, damn it! I'm sick of you people out there telling me I gotta back Romney because he's the only hope we have. He's no hope whatsoever! He's nothing! He's nothing! Put an X to Romney! He's toast! He's shown you he has no capacity for leadership. He's shown you that he's in the pocket of La Raza. He's shown you he's no different than Obama. Show me where he differs than Obama on one issue. I challenge the Republican diehards listening to the Savage Nation today. I challenge you to call this program and speak to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. And you tell me one area that you know for sure Romney differs than Obama. Show me the area. Tell me on what he differs. I'd like to hear it. Because you can't answer that question. Because Romney is a man for all seasons, which means he stands for nothing. Nobody knows what he stands for. He's an empty suit. Romney is the epitome of the empty suit. We know Obama, what he is. We know who Obama is. Just look at the man's history. Look at who he hung around with at Occidental College, who I wrote about, the Pakistani. It's in trickle-up poverty. Take a look at the man's background. And take a look at the man's foreground. And take a look at the man's current advisors and czars. The man is a naked Marxist in plain sight, right in front of your face. A man asks him a question at a Rose Garden speech where he violates the Constitution, and he stumbles. He can't even finish his lying speech. He starts to stumble and bumble. He gets ablunged, as they say. Couldn't finish an answer. He got upset because someone dared ask the king a question. And he said, "Not while I'm speaking, sir." And right on cue, here comes the Congressional Black Caucus calling it racism to dare ask the president a question. When Sam Donaldson did it to Ronald Reagan, it was not considered anything but brilliant. But when a reporter asks the king a question, here they come. Here they come. It's racism. The one word answer that fits all. Whatever criticism you may have, racism. Whatever questions you may have that he can't answer, racism. Whatever laws are violated, racism. Whatever handouts are given to his cronies, racism. Whatever foreign policy failures he created from the Arab winter around the world is a wreck. Russian warships are moving to Syria. Hillary Clinton should be impeached for that bumbling. Look, you don't understand what's going on in this world. We have the most dangerous, incompetent administration and most corrupt in history. Dangerous, incompetent, corrupt. Take the three words and put them in your pipe and smoke it with your marijuana. The most dangerous, the most incompetent, and most corrupt administration in American history. Hillary Clinton is not capable of being the head of an SNL, let alone Secretary of State. Take a look at what she did. Take a look at what she did. You think that they're afraid of her? You think that Putin, a hard-boiled guy like Putin, is afraid of Hillary Clinton and Obama? They'll run all over them. Why are Russian warships moving to Syria if we're looking to instill democracy in Syria? Why? Tell me why. Give me the answer. Oh, you mean Egypt? What, I've been warning you for 6 months? I was wrong about that too, you morons, you. For 6 months, I've told you that the Soros money, the Brzezinski anti-Semite, and Jimmy Carter, anti-Semite, and Obama and Hillary Clinton orchestrated the so-called Arab Spring. They took a man, Mubarak, and they killed him, basically, and they put in the Muslim Brotherhood, as I warned you would happen. And now the military is trying to keep the Muslim Brotherhood from creating total chaos and war in the Middle East. And guess whose side Hillary Clinton is on? Take a guess whose side Obama's on. They're on the side of the murderous Muslim Brotherhood. You tell me this administration is corrupt? You tell me this administration is incompetent? You tell me this administration is dangerous? I wish you would, but I don't think you will. Romney is an empty suit. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Just 6 years ago, the unlikely trio of John McCain, Ted Kennedy, and President Bush came together to champion this kind of reform.
Really? What great lineage. John McCain, failed candidate for the presidency. Ted Kennedy, adulterer, drunk, murderer. What a great combination. George Bush, panderer to Mexico. See, that part of the Republican Party was voted out of office a long time ago. McCain only hung on because he jury-rigged his campaign in Arizona, in my opinion. He's the most incompetent non-Republican in the history of the party. So to quote Kennedy and McCain and Bush in one breath, when the American people, especially on the other side of the aisle, have clearly stated they do not want illegal aliens being given any benefits in this country. And by the way, that cuts across both parties. The media will not tell you this, but I know it for a fact because I've read all of the internal polls. Even in the state of California, as left-wing as it is, there's a massive distemper with the illegal aliens who have taken over this state and bankrupted it, number one. They're running rampant over the state's resources. And the Democrats in this state are opposed to granting amnesty to illegal aliens. So don't tell me that the Republicans are any different, because they're not. Texas, CJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Romney's going to kick ass, Michael. When he gets in there, if anybody jacks with our country, he's got enough Reagan in him.
Please, you know what, sir, stop it. Show me where Romney differs from Obama on one issue. I'd like to hear it.
He doesn't want Syria happening. He doesn't want Russia meddling. He wants to stand up to Russia. He wants to stand up.
Whoa. Why would he stand up to Russia? Russia's on the right side of things. The United States is on the wrong side. You mean we should be on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria as well?
No, we should not. We should go over there and take it over and just put our military.
Oh, come on. Take what over with what troops? The troops on medication? The troops in the sick bay? What troops do we have? You're going to go over there with Rush Limbaugh in a uniform? Romney is an empty suit. Marilyn, Jennifer, go ahead, please.
I hope you let me speak, Mike. But no, I do not believe Romney's an empty suit. I think I agree. I wouldn't say those words that the other man said, but I believe that in my heart, I think he is only getting in this for 4 years to try to put this country back on track. But he's needs some of the.
Ma'am, it's very nice to hear what you believe. I'd like to give you to give the audience one fact which indicates that Romney is not a liberal like Obama. Give me one fact.
Well, I don't know. I can tell you this. He is going to open up the pipeline. He is going to take off some of the regulations. I wouldn't doubt if he tried.
Hold on. He's going to do what? He's going to open up the Keystone Pipeline. Okay, that may be so. That would be a good move. He did say he would do that. That's number one. What else did he say he would do that makes him different from Obama?
Private businesses, the small businesses, take all these regulations.
Ma'am, again, I can't hear what you mean. What do you mean small business? What did he say he would do for small businesses?
They have too many regulations.
Oh, real? Which ones does he intend to eliminate?
Well, he didn't name each one, but he's talking about private businesses.
He speaks in platitudes. He speaks in platitudes. And the first thing you have to know about men who speak in platitudes is not to trust them. Because platitudes are written so that people can interpret them in many different ways. Have no faith in the Republican Party because they have shown us what they are capable of with the 8 years of the Bush administration. It was the most corrupt administration prior to this one. So don't tell me that they're going to do anything different. I am sick of hearing about the Republicans as the saviors. They were damn crooks when they had the power. One damn crook after another.
Savage.
They were brought to this country by their parents, sometimes even as infants, and often have no idea that they're undocumented until they apply for a job.
That's too damn bad. They're illegal aliens. They have no papers. What are you talking about like we owe them something? The bird has more courage than Romney. The bird in the background tweeting has more courage than Romney or the Republican Party. I am so sick of listening to this rubbish. 900,000 talented, patriotic young people. You mean personally, every one of them is talented and patriotic? Do you notice how both parties are pandering to these illegal aliens and spitting in the face of the conservatives in this country? It's like you don't exist. Now, you'd expect that from a communist like Obama. He hates you. Remember, one of the first things he did was remove the bust of Winston Churchill when he took the presidency. He took out a bust of Winston Churchill when he occupied the White House. Emphasis on the word occupied. When Obama occupied the White House, he got rid of the bust of one of the greatest men of the 20th century, Winston Churchill. He has not yet replaced it with Stokely Carmichael's bust or Elijah Muhammad's bust, but we don't know what might come in his second administration. Nevertheless, that is what he is expected to do, which is to hate conservatives. But now you have the Republicans who detest conservatives, make no mistake about it. They gerrymandered the district of Allen West in Florida. I'm giving you one example to make sure he didn't win again. Because Allen West is the real deal. Allen West is a war hero. Allen West is a true blue Tea Party conservative. The Republican Party does not want Tea Party members in their midst. They want party operatives. They want apparatchiks they can control. They want people that can do deals that they can do deals for and with. In other words, they want people who do what they're told and shut their mouths otherwise. So now we have the President of the United States pandering to 1 million illegal aliens. God knows how many of them will be instant voters. We have no idea whether they're going to vote or not. How do you know? since you have Eric Holder, that prize of humanity, suing the states that are trying to uphold the integrity of their voting rolls, saying, we're suing you, the federal government will sue you if you dare try to find out who's an illegal alien, who's not entitled to vote. States like Florida said, you know what? We're going to sue you because you're not doing your job, Holder. Now you understand that it's a seamless plan here. First, they sue states trying to make sure that their voter rolls are secure. And then they grant amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens. And by the way, how do you know it's 800,000 or a million? How do you know it's not 5 million or 10 million? You trust the government that that number is accurate? What do you mean young people? Who are these people? Their parents smuggled them into the United States of America. Does that make all of them talented and patriotic? No, it doesn't. And so therefore, we are left without a party in this country. We, the traditional conservative in the United States of America, have no representation whatsoever. None whatsoever. Romney is no different than Obama on this fundamental issue. Now, I got to repeat again what you may or may not know. Before Romney ran in December of 2010, I believe it was, he and I had dinner together in San Francisco in an Italian restaurant. I have the picture of it. In fact, I'm going to post it on my website. Art, if you're listening, get it back up to see if we can embarrass Romney a little bit and make him a little uncomfortable, because I am so sick and tired of this clown. I'm so sick and tired of this empty suit. When we had dinner, I asked him specifically in very nice terms. He was a nice man, da-da-da-da-da, wonderful man. I don't need nice. I don't like nice in the presidency. I want tough, and I want somebody who's going to act for America. I don't like a nice guy in the White House. And so I said to him, why are you silent, or what are you going to do, rather, about the illegal aliens, Mr. Romney, if you run for the presidency? And he got very, you know, cagey about it, and he said to me right in my eye, looked right in my eye and said, well, he said, that's a tough issue, because if you say one word about illegal immigration, you're going to lose the Hispanic vote. I said, but sir, if they're here illegally, you can't just let this, you can't just sweep it under the rug. You have to uphold the law, Mr. Romney. I said, moreover, you're going to lose your conservative base if you pander to the illegal alien. I'm going to repeat that right now. If Romney doesn't change course, if Romney stays on the same middle of the road, no course that he's on, the same exact course that was used to run McCain off the rails, Romney's going to lose this election, which is why Obama said two or three times in public to Medvedev, remember what he said, when I'm reelected? And then he said it again, and then they caught him and said, watch out, don't repeat that, because the people are starting to ask questions, Barry. Don't say when you're reelected, although we told you you're going to get reelected. You can't tell the people. Let the dummies think there's actually an election. That's what's going on. What do you think? You think I can't read through this? We're living the last days of Rome here. Both parties are identical. And the reason they're identical on the illegal alien question is because the Republicans want the illegal alien worker, while the Democrats want the illegal alien voter. Any other questions? Tell me how Romney differs from Obama. I'm willing to learn. My mind is not made up. Show me where they differ. They have different styles, but they fundamentally have similar opinions on most major issues, don't they? Joe in New York, go ahead, please. You're here to tell me that Romney's different. How?
Yes, Michael. Now, I agree with you that a politician is a politician. You know what I mean? I'm not a Republican diehard. But to say that Romney is the same like Obama, you're going to tell me that Romney would have pushed through the health care bill just like Obama did?
I don't know what he might do. Romney's liable to say everyone's entitled to health care. How do I know what he's liable to do tomorrow?
I understand it, but do you really believe that? Look, you know, let's go to George Bush for a second. George Bush's cabinet, is John Ashcroft Eric Holder? Is he in the same breath?
Well, let's not bring up George Bush as an example of a conservative. You're not arguing that Bush was a fiscal conservative, are you?
And I'm not saying he's the greatest president in the world.
I'm talking specifics, not about greatest or worst. George Bush was a fiscal socialist. I was the only member of the media who called him that for the last year of his regime. Do you remember that?
100%.
I don't know if you were listening. I don't know if you were listening to me, but I saw what Bush was doing. Bush had expanded the government spending to the extent that it was greater than that of the three previous administrations. That's what Bush did. And do you remember that Bush destroyed the economy in the last few months? Do you remember Bush's Treasury Secretary? Can you still name him? How come he hasn't been indicted? How come Paulson has never been indicted? How about Bush's Secretary, Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman? Do you know his name, Chris Cox? How come he was never indicted? Where are they now? They busted the economy. Where are they now? They were no different than John Corzine. No different whatsoever. I don't care if they have an R or a D next to their name. It's the exact same thing. No, I have no faith in Romney today because this was his opportunity to step out from behind the shadows and say, now I am Mitt Romney, I oppose this amnesty, and I'm going to demand the impeachment of Obama. That's what was required in order for him to show his bona fides. He did not do it. I'm sorry. I have no faith in him whatsoever. I have been holding my fire on Romney. I never really felt he was right for the job. I felt he was a weak candidate to begin with. But I was willing to suspend any criticism of him for fear that Obama would get reelected. I am now convinced he will be reelected. I'm convinced that the fix is in. I'm absolutely convinced the fix is in. Romney is nowhere to be seen. He has become Waldo. Romney is Waldo. What does Romney stand for? That's what I'd like to know. Please answer the question. You've got an awful big audience listening to this show. They just heard Michael Savage condemn Mitt Romney, saying he will not vote for him. And I'll add a caveat, unless he changes course. I don't know why I even have to add that, because the course is already fixed. He's heading right for infinity. He's heading for infinity, the same infinity of John McCain. Pittsburgh, PA. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I wanted to talk to you about what you said about needing immigration in this country and how that's not what is needed right now. Where I disagree with you is that if you look at the top end of jobs and research taking place in this country right now, it might not be from the Mexicans and people hopping the border, but you've got Chinese, Indian, all the academics in the universities. You've got 40% of PhD students are coming from overseas and coming to our country. They might not be permanent here, but there's...
Okay, I don't know what he's talking about. He just broke up. New York, WOR, Mike, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I believe if either Mitt Romney is Mormon, he follows his beliefs, or he's not. And that's why, if he does, he has to be to the right. He has to. That's his makeup.
Is what?
His belief system, his values, his, what he has to lead biblical, if you want to put it that way.
What does that mean? I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean he has to lead biblical? What does that mean?
His Mormon makeup. He has an obligation, not only to, like you say, the American people, but he has it in his inner faith, his spiritual believing.
Well, I respect the Mormon people. I'm the one in the media who knows more about Mormonism than most others who are non-Mormon. I've respected the Mormon people. That's never been an issue for me. But what does that have to do with Mitt Romney's spinelessness? Let's be clear. I'll spell the word for you, spinelessness. You're not telling me that it's biblical for him to turn the other cheek to the illegal aliens being granted amnesty, are you?
No, I don't. But I do feel he has an obligation to the church, to the leaders, to the...
You know what? I could care less about his obligation to the church. I'd like to hear about his obligation to the U.S. Constitution. I don't want to hear about his church anymore. How's that?
Agreed.
I don't want to hear about his church. I want to hear about his obligation to the Constitution and why he's not willing to stand up to this violation of the U.S. Constitution and the powers of the presidency. Tell me why he's not doing that. I'd like to hear it.
Well, you've said it before. He's got wrong advisors. He has people maybe from John McCain's party that are leading him, that are ill-advising him.
Now let's pause right there. There's your answer right there. If he is not smart enough to see that his advisors are misadvising him, if he is not in touch with the conservative base sufficient to understand where we are coming from, then he is not capable of winning this election. I'll tell you what will happen. If he goes up against Obama in the final debates and he starts, you know, cotton-mouthing it, mealy-mouthing it, hemming and hawing, he's finished. He's just not strong enough for this job. And I'm terrified it's going to get a lot worse. I'm going to make another prediction right now in the Savage Nation. I'll tell you what I'm going to make a prediction about. Today is June 18th, 2012. Since I have told you Obama would grant amnesty to illegal aliens, both in trickle-up poverty and trickle-down tyranny, and hundreds of thousands of you believed me and bought my books or listened to the show every day, millions a week listen to this show, so you know I know what I'm talking about. I'll make a prediction right now. In the next few days, a few weeks, the Supreme Court is going to come out with an Obamacare ruling, and Obama's going to do an end run around the Supreme Court, and he's going to say that he's going to legalize through executive order most portions or some portions of his socialized medicine, and the Republicans will say nothing. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So with the stroke of a pen, our dictator-in-chief, the tyrant, Obama, grants amnesty to about a million, at least a million, talented, patriotic young people. Now, how does he know all of them are talented and patriotic is the first question. But secondly, he does this as a jobs program for a million people, mainly from Mexico. Now, what about the black people who are unemployed? What about the poor white people who are unemployed in this country? Why did Obama not create a jobs program for them? Where did he figure out that granting jobs or creating a jobs program for illegal aliens from Mexico under the guise that they're all talented and so patriotic, somehow that would get him reelected? It doesn't make any sense to me. The fact of the matter is we're at the point of a collapse in this country. Our national debt has exploded. Our national debt has exploded. Do you know what our national debt is? Do you have any idea what Obama has done to this country's finances? He is the biggest spender in the history of the world. Soaring federal debt, economic turmoil, political insanity, declining morality, pornography pumped into everyone's brain around the United States of America and into the world. A church that has lost its spine, spiritual apathy, natural disasters one after the other. It's enough to make you wonder if some great cataclysm is not about to arrive on this nation's shores. Something is very wrong out there. I'll give you a little side note for a minute, get away from the immigration issue for a second, and we'll talk about the cultural desert that we are living in, the cesspool created by Spielberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and the others, the Katzenjammer twins in Hollywood. Last night I was bored. Father's Day, wonderful day, but I was in bed at night, watching movies as usual. I entertain myself by watching movies and scanning. And I stopped on a movie called Hangover Part 2. Now, I had seen Hangover Part 1, and I laughed. I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was very clever, kind of enjoyable. It wasn't particularly rowdy or obscene. I could not believe what I watched last night. In one scene, now, by the way, they were peddling this as a family-friendly, I don't know what the rating was, but they were trying to get you to bring your children in. They go to a house of ill repute, a whorehouse, in other words, in Thailand. And they're drunk and they don't know where they are. And there's women walking around in this house of prostitution. And then at one point, she takes off her clothing and it turns out it's a man dressed up as a woman with a full frontal male nudity. And she says things to him that you would not believe what they did the night before. And it's all supposed to be in great laughs. And then I looked into this movie, Hangover Part 2, which I think was a bomb because it was so sickening and vile as opposed to being clever and funny. And the writers said that they didn't know what to do in Hangover Part 2, so they got stoned on mescaline or mushrooms, I believe, in a motel somewhere in Palm Springs, and they came up with the most outlandish, most pornographic imagery they could think of, and they sold it to the rats of Hollywood. The rats of Hollywood loved it. They cheered wildly in between their Obama sycophantic behavior, in between raising money for this illegitimate Marxist president. They produced this piece of vile garbage, which was then offered as family fare. To me, this epitomizes everything wrong with the Katzenberg twins, the Katzenhammer boys of Hollywood. And so the nation has $15 trillion in debt, fast approaching $65 trillion worth of unfunded liabilities, which means promises that this illegitimate government has made regarding Social Security, regarding the corrupt Medicare system, the corrupt Medicaid system that it can't afford. $65 trillion worth of unfunded liabilities. 53 million children aborted since 1973. 53 million children aborted since 1973. Pornography exported around the world. An industry larger than the three major networks, the pornography industry. Pushing into their homes in the Middle East. You think they want their children destroyed by the Katzenjammer kids of Hollywood? No, they don't. They're willing to die to stop it. We have a morally bankrupt nation. We have a financially bankrupt nation. We have a spiritually bankrupt nation. And then we have the savior on a white horse, Mitt Romney, with his first major opportunity to distinguish himself from Obama on a clear-cut issue of pandering to illegal immigrants, of granting amnesty to at least 1 million illegal immigrants, which is a clear violation not only of the law, but of the Constitution itself. Romney could have come out on Friday. He could have gotten his act together over the weekend and said, this is my defining moment. I'm going to demand the impeachment of Obama. I'm going to tell the American people where I stand on this, and he did not do it because he agrees with Obama. What you don't understand yet is that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are one of the same. There is no fundamental difference in their vision for the future of this nation. There may be some strategic differences. There may be some conceptual differences. There are certainly stylistic differences between Romney and Obama. But unfortunately, on too many issues, there's a mirror between the two of them. They are bookends. And so I rest my case. And I ask you again to call the show. If you want to prove to me that Romney is different than Obama, please do so. If you'd like to talk about Syria and which side we should be on in Syria, I'm open for that discussion as well. Because once again, this corrupt administration has sided with the wrong side in Syria. That is not to say that Assad is not a miserable, mean, horrendous, murderous dictator. He certainly is all those things and more. And tell me what the Muslim Brotherhood is. Are they Democrats? Are they going to have a democratic government? Ask the Coptic Christians in Egypt what the Muslim Brotherhood is. Pictures of burning churches are not allowed on ABC, CBS, and NBC. Pictures of Coptic Christians driven out of their homes that they lived in for 1,300 years are not allowed to be screened on the Katzenberg networks.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The next few months, eligible individuals will be able to request temporary relief from deportation and apply for work authorization. This is not a path to citizenship. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, patriotic young people. It is the right thing to do.
I can't listen to him anymore. I can't take this dictatorship one more second without speaking out. I feel like I'm living in the last days of America. Here we have a naked Marxist jumping over the bar now and violating the law and the Constitution. The Republicans are silent. Now, two congressmen are threatening to do something about it. Representative Steve King, a Republican of Iowa, says that he's filing a motion in federal court to block the Obama administration from implementing this executive order, which will allow at least 1 million illegal aliens to be free from deportation because they're also patriotic and talented. I guess Obama knows that all 1 million of these illegal aliens from Mexico are talented and patriotic. I wish he had the same concern for the talented, patriotic Americans who are out of work. But the fact of the matter is, Obama has defied the U.S. Constitution because he's attempting to create new laws without Congress following the DREAM Act, which is a bill that would have similarly granted benefits to young illegal aliens, but it failed to pass Congress. Remember, what Obama just did was voted upon, and it was voted down by our duly elected Congress. The illegal alien thugs who are behind the DREAM Act are the ones who got me off a station in San Francisco. I remember when they marched outside a station in that city that I was on, calling me every name under the sun for wanting to uphold the Constitution. One illicit group after another condemned Michael Savage. So this is nothing new for me. I don't need illegal aliens to tell me that I have a right to defend the Constitution or I should shut my mouth. It is my country, not theirs. The fact of the matter is Barack Obama has broken the law. His executive order defied Congress, has defied the will of the American people, because Congress has considered the exact same law and refused to pass the DREAM Act. Not only that, everyone in America should be very worried because Obama has violated the separation of powers, which is a principle fundamental to the U.S. Constitution. If we all stand by and allow this dictator to succeed, you may as well sit back and start marking out those amendments to the Constitution that you think Obama will find offensive and eliminate with the stroke of a pen. What if you woke up and he said, with this executive act, because it's the right thing to do, I am now banning the private ownership of guns in America because they cause crime. What would you do then? No, about the same thing you're doing now. Nothing. Nothing. You're doing nothing. So why should he stop? Don't you understand how dictatorships grow? They're like a cancer. They metastasize. They test one step at a time. That's how criminals operate. They see what they can get away with. Dictators see what they can get away with. He just got away with one of the most grave violations I have ever seen a president get away with in my lifetime. Certainly there were examples in the past of such behaviors. FDR comes to mind, but I don't want to waste our time by going back 70 years in history. Fact of the matter is, Obama's new law disregards existing federal law that demands illegal immigrants be apprehended and thrown out of the country, regardless of the age at which they came to the United States, regardless of whether or not they got a free education in this country. Didn't matter. The law exists, the federal law. Obama did not write this law. He's just spitting in the face of the law. By the way, last March, Obama gave a speech where he said, I intend to file a legal action. Last March, Obama said he did not have the authority to do what he just did, and he said he wouldn't do it. Senator Chuck Grassley, R. Iowa, also questioned the president's authority to ignore immigration law and grant soft amnesty to at least a million illegal aliens. We do not have representative government when a dictator circumvents Congress. But the big issue here is not so much what this naked Marxist has done. I predicted this would happen and trickle down tyranny and trickle up poverty. I saw it all coming. But what really bothers me today is the silence on the part of Romney. Romney said nothing. Romney just talked in circles. Romney had an obligation and an opportunity to define himself today. If he didn't do so Friday, he could have done it today. He could have said, under careful consideration, I am concerned about the president's violation of the separation of powers. I'm concerned that he violated the Constitution. I'm concerned that he's taken the law into his own hands, and we're going to immediately proceed with an investigation of impeachment against President Obama for what he's just done. Whether or not it could occur before the election is another question. It doesn't matter. But at least we would have somebody to rally around. Right now we have nothing. We have cotton inside a suit. We have cotton inside a suit. Nice looking suit, nice looking man with cotton inside. It reminds me of the T.S. Eliot poem that I'm not going to bore you with by reading, called The Hollow Man. Do we have that, Beowulf? Because if you have it, I'd actually read it right now. Because we're faced with a very unhollow man in Obama. Make no mistake about it, Obama is a very vigorous, very strong man who believes in everything he does, because that is the way of the radical leftist. They are fanatic in their implementation of their goals. And on the other side, what we have is the hollow man. 1-800-449-8255. If you'd like to call me and tell me how Romney differs from Obama, I'd be very happy to learn it. I'd be very happy to learn it. I also want to talk about Russian warships going to Syria and which side you're on that and why. It's a very big story. As you well know, George Soros' money funded the Arab winter. They overthrew the leadership in Egypt as dictator Mubarak, sure, but he was America's best friend in the Middle East for 45 years. America, the world's most populous Muslim nation, was not at war with Israel, was not at war with any of its neighbors, and kept the fanatics at bay. Kept the fanatics at bay. And Hillary Clinton and Obama, with Soros' money and with advice from Brzezinski and Carter, overthrew Mubarak and installed the Muslim Brotherhood, as I predicted would happen a year ago. Didn't take a genius to see that coming. Now take a look at the architecture of the Arab world today, and you will see a disaster in the making. Now let's go to the next step, which is Syria. I'll explain to you in a minute or less what's going on there. You have a strongman dictator named Assad, certainly another brutal dictator. And who is he facing on the other side? You mean because they're called rebels, they're good? What, you watch too many reruns of the James Dean movie, Rebel Without a Cause? Because they're a rebel, somehow they're fashionable and good? The rebels are hardliner Islamists. They would introduce Sharia law in Syria. Syria is largely a secular nation right now. It is not a fanatic Muslim nation. The Christians of Syria are protected by Assad. The Jewish community of Syria, one of the most ancient communities, Jewish communities in the world, is protected by Assad. Tell me what will happen when the fanatic Muslims take over the country. You idiots can't even think once. I can't believe how stupid the American people are. So now you introduce Russia into the puzzle. Certainly Russia is not concerned about the Jews or the Christians in Syria. Russia is concerned about its own strategic interests. Russia has its own Muslim problem in the area of Chechnya. We all understand this. If you forgot history, I'll remind you that Russia has been at war with the Chechenian separatists for quite a while, and they have their own problem with the Muslim, the attempts at Muslim uprisings throughout the belly of the old Soviet Empire. Now they look at Syria and they say Assad is our ally, a very good ally at that. He protects our interests in many different ways. We are not going to let a group of school ladies in the United States of America tell us to throw him out of power so that we can see radical Muslims take over Syria. So they're moving warships into Syria. Would you like to see the U.S. Navy now have a naval war with Russia? Is that what you'd like to see? For what reason? Do you have any idea what's really going on in the world? Now, you have to ask yourself, is Hillary Clinton that stupid? Are they that ignorant that they don't know what they're doing? I don't think so. Well, that leads to an alarming conclusion. You mean she knows that she's on the side of radical Islam? From Libya to Egypt and now Syria, you mean they're on the side of the Islamists? You mean the right-wing nuts who have feared that we have an Islamist in the White House or someone sympathetic to the Islamists are not all crazy? You don't want to think that, do you? You don't really want to go there. You don't really want to think that Hussein Obama is actually in sympathy with the radical Islamists, do you? Well, what should you think? That's the question. Now let's go to the callers and see what they have to say on the Savage Nation. Tom in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm surprised you're not going after Matt Drudge for sensationalism. I mean, he's making a big deal about two Russian rust buckets going into Syria, and they're just trying to protect not just the Navy base. Actually, the Russians are concerned about the Christians because half of those Christians are the ancient Orthodox. They're even
You're going in two different directions at once. Now you're attacking Matt Drudge?
Yeah, because this guy, he's on the side.
Tom, please, let's focus on the big issue. Russia is protecting its national security interests in Syria. Let's stick with that picture.
And
now, which side are you on, I'm asking?
Well, I know it's a proxy war between the Saudis and the Iran. That's the real thing that's going on in Syria. The Saudis are supporting the Syrian rebels. And Assad's not a good guy at all. He's an evil guy. But the Christians are...
Well, I just said he's an evil guy, but wait, slow down. Who are the rebels? Tell me who the leader is.
Oh, well, we don't know, but a lot of them are...
We don't know, but you're an expert on the... Wait, we don't know, but you know that they're good.
No, they're not good. They're evil. I know from Eric Klein and other reporters who've gone in there who said that they're with the rebels. They're backed by the Saudis. They're the Islamic Brotherhood. They're the Al-Qaeda.
Right. So, therefore, we would rather see the miserable, evil dictator Assad stay in power, wouldn't we?
Well, temporarily, yeah, because we don't want the Christians to be slaughtered there. which the American people don't understand, because you're right, the American people, especially those Southerners on your show, are dumb and ignorant, those Scotch-Irish guys from down south. They don't know
why do you have to? Why do you have to insult people, Tom, to make your point? Are you doing it just to be clever? Who actually are you? You sound like a stupid, you sound like an idiotic bigot who works for Howard Stern.
No. Because
Get off my show, you filthy bigot, you. Get off my show. I don't want to listen to a bigot like him. Attacks Drudge, then he attacks the Mormons, then he attacks the Southerners. The fact of the matter is, Syria is in turmoil. It's in a civil war. They're killing each other. We have no idea how many people have been killed, nor by whom. That we don't know. We really don't know. Any report coming from the UN is unreliable. That we do know. Activists said government forces were continuing to pound opposition strongholds in different parts of the country. Who are the activists? Who are the radical Islamic activists? Who are the terrorist organizations behind the civil war in Syria? Why is Assad the dictator the better choice? Why is Assad the murderer the better choice for the sake of world security? I'll be right back.
Savage.
I know some have come forward at great risks to themselves and their futures in hopes it would spur the rest of us to live up to our own most cherished values.
And I've seen bull crap. Stop turning these illegal aliens into heroes. I'm sick of this. He's turned the world upside down. Pandering to illegal aliens are supposed to be deported. Telling us that they're all patriotic and talented. I can't take another word from this communist. And on the other side, who do we have? An empty suit. A hollow man. T.S. Eliot, 1925. We are the hollow men. We are the stuffed men leaning together. Headpiece filled with straw. Our dried voices when we whisper together are quiet and meaningless as wind and dry grass. Or rat's feet over broken glass in our dry cellar. Shape without form. Shade without color. Paralyzed force. Gesture without motion. I won't read you anymore. Go look it up yourself. Go look it up yourself. The eyes are not here. There are no eyes here. In this valley of dying stars, in this hollow valley, this broken jaw of our lost kingdoms. T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot, 1925. See, sometimes in history, the white male knew everything. We had great poets in those days. Take a look at what you have now. Take a look at who you have now, what they call a poet. Take a look at it. Take a look at who they give the prizes to. You know the difference between civilization and the loss of civilization. Let's take the calls in the Savage Nation. Joe in New York on WOR. Go ahead. What's the topic?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, regarding the immigration issue, we have unemployment through the roof, all right, millions out of work, and this guy, Obama, cares more about the illegal aliens than he does about the American
all
people.
Right. All right, thanks for the call. He sure does. He certainly does. There's no question this guy shouldn't do that. No question he shouldn't do that. Hartford, Connecticut. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Mike? You know, you call Romney an empty suit, but you know something? Obama's a fool. The guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, my friend, he sure knows what he's doing. He just granted amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens who had no right for to be granted amnesty. He got away with it, didn't he? So what kind of fool is he? He just got away with pandering to Mexico and illegal aliens from Mexico so he can get them to vote for him. Who's the fool?
Well,
that's all. Next case. Albany, New York. Let's go through the callers. Jim, you're on the Savage Nation. Gone with the wind. Let's get a little call screening going here, too. That might be good. Lisa, Las Vegas. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Hi, Michael. It's an honor. I just wanted to say I bought your book for my, somebody.
All right. I don't want to talk about my book. I'm glad you did. I want to hear comments on this.
Okay. Mitt Romney, this is my feeling. I mean, you're right. He's very, like, weak on the immigration issue. But this is like he's probably just doing this to get the Latino vote. But once, if he becomes.
Wait, what do you mean? So he has no carrot. So he stands for nothing. So he's identical to Obama. He's identical to Obama then. Again, he's appealing to the, quote, Hispanic vote. Who made them sacrosanct? What about the conservative vote? What, we don't exist? I am sick of pandering to them.
Savage.
So we have lost the separation of powers. With one fell swoop of a pen, we found out that it's a one-party system. We have, on the other side, the Republican side, them trying to be diplomatic and persuasive with this diehard, by all means necessary, communist called Obama. Let me remind you of what Edward Gibbon wrote, a man who wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. He lived between 1737 and 1794, a member of Parliament 250, 300 years ago. He wrote that persuasion is the tactic of the weak, but the weak are rarely persuasive. Persuasion is the tactic of the weak, but the weak are rarely persuasive. That's what he wrote. And so we have a weak Republican Party trying to sound diplomatic and persuasive, but they have no persuasiveness because they're too weak. And so instead we have a party of weaklings. The few men in the party who are really willing to stand up to this dictatorship are shunned by the Republican Party. For example, in clip 26, listen to Representative Alan West, one of the real great ones. To me. All right.
I think once again, example. Right,
let's stop. Houston, Texas. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I've been trying to call for weeks. You got to look at the numbers. 2008 supporters of Barack Obama and the 2012 supporters of Mitt Romney. 2012 Mitt Romney, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, Wells Fargo. All major supporters of Obama in 08.
That's correct. And now they're supporting Romney because they are running the country. There's no question about it. Speaking of Jamie Dimon, who lost what? How much was it? How many billions disappeared overnight? $2 billion?
I don't even know, but it's scary.
He spoke before Congress, and what happened? Nothing. Where did the money go? You know that money doesn't disappear. When you hear that that his firm lost $2 billion, did it go up in air? No, that money was given to someone. Somebody made money on those transactions. Why was he not indicted by Congress? Why was there no recommendation for an indictment from Congress after Jamie Dimon spoke to them? Because he's their boss. That's why. That's what you're basically saying. Wall Street runs America, correct?
Yep. 2012 Obama, though. It's all schools and it's University of California, Harvard, Stanford, Chicago, Columbia. And then they got Microsoft, Comcast, and Time Warner. What, are they going to have to bail out the communication stuff this year because nobody's watching TV? I mean,
So you agree with me that we're in the last days of this country with no opposition party whatsoever. We have one party rule with the two-card Monty being played. I don't know about you, but I really would rather not drink one diet soda or another. I'll take real orange juice. I don't see real orange juice in Mitt Romney, do you?
No, but I see hope for 2024. Eric Seitz, Houston, Texas. I got 10 years to do what the people want, so I might just have to do it.
That's what we need is someone to run. Someone to run. Someone to run. So there it is. So what are you going to do about any of these things when you don't have a party to represent you? By the way, there's an article about Woody Allen's son, you know, and this and that. If you read the article, I put it up on michaelsavage.com. It turns out that Woody Allen's son works for Hillary Clinton in the State Department. You didn't know that, did you? Woody Allen, the great patriotic citizen from Brooklyn, New York, who said he's a citizen of the world, doesn't like America. Another one, another creep from Brooklyn, who made his fame and fortune in this great nation and hates the country through and through and poses as an international star, that creep. Don't get me started with Woody Allen and how brilliant he is. I can't stand the man. He's debased the Jewish people. With one man, he's debased the image of the Jewish male for 100 years. New York, WOR, David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I think if Romney talked about God more, like you were talking about last week, you know, and became more conservative, he would appeal to the Latino vote. Those are conservative people. I mean, the Latinos that are here legally and they work hard.
Let me tell you something. The Latinos or Hispanic, I don't like the word Latino. That's a political word. The Hispanic voting bloc that is here legally are in total opposition to the illegal aliens getting all the attention and all of the credit for the hard work that they are doing, by the way. Thank you for the call. So, look, I've made my case. I've spelled it out in two books now. I told you Obama would grant amnesty to illegal aliens. I was right. And I'll tell you what he's going to do next, which I've done in the last hour. And that is, when the Supreme Court rules against all or part of Obamacare, Obama will no doubt do an end run around the Supreme Court and, through executive order, introduce Cuba-style medicine into the United States of America to make sure that everybody in this country can bankrupt the system as fast as possible. I'm only one man. I can only tell you what's going on. I can only tell you what's going on. I can't affect anything. I don't exist. I do not exist. You got to understand, Michael Savage does not exist in the U.S. media. Now, it is true I exist to the extent that the British are so afraid of me that they forbid me from entering the nation. They have not bestowed that upon some of the other big mouths in the media, people who pose as such dangerous characters, such as that cretinous little Bill Maher, that twerp who attacks Mormons, that phony coward that he is, that phony, creepy coward on HBO. He thinks it's okay to attack religions like that. That tells you all you need to know about that useless. But nevertheless, I don't exist, do I? He's so dangerous that he's allowed to visit England. I'm so undangerous and so non-existent that I'm not allowed to visit England, which I now wear as a badge of honor. For 3 years, it ate me alive. I spent an awful lot of money trying to get my name off the list to no avail. When Cameron won the election, I was told that he would take my name off the list, but like all lying politicians, his administration lied to my lawyers. He was no different. He was no different, by the way, than Brown. And I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not to talk about me, or myself, rather. It's exactly what's going to happen if Romney should win by some fluke. Remember, Brown was a diehard corrupt socialist on the order of Obama, pandered to every interest group that was not English, every interest group that hated England, every interest group that hated the history of England, Prime Minister Brown pandered to and catered to. And then along came Cameron in a sort of split government. And Cameron promised to be the great conservative leader. And he was no different. No different. In fact, it's gotten worse in England. It's gotten even more nanny state-ish. And so that's exactly what the Republicans are. It's a direct parallel to what's liable to happen here. I'm not too excited election, frankly. I give up on these people. I give up on all of them. All of them, I give up on them. But many of you haven't, and many of you will vote for Romney anyway, and I'm liable to vote for him, or I may not vote for him. I may even sit the election out. I'm not sure. I may not vote in this election as a protest because I can't stand what Romney is not doing. He had every opportunity to speak out against Obama's seizure of power, and he did nothing. He did nothing. Zero. 1-800-449-8255. Alabama, Matt, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, Mr. Romney is doing something right now, very clearly, is what we call keeping your powder dry. I'm a lifelong Southern. My family goes back to before the Revolutionary War. This whole election process started way so prematurely that Mr. Romney understands it's time to shut up.
And you're 100% wrong. Because your strategy would be correct if Obama had not just done something that was so patently illegal and unconstitutional. But since Obama has done this, it was Romney's chance to enter as a conservative leader. Why is he sitting silently by while Obama violates the Constitution? I don't see how you can approve of that.
Because he has wisdom and patience and manhood. He will sit.
Oh, you mean anyone who speaks out against Obama is a wimp and an idiot?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you and I disagree on how to approach a dictatorship. Tell me when Romney will act. Tell me when he'll decide not to keep his powder dry. At what point does he actually say something that has any meaning? Tell me when.
Middle of September.
Oh, you mean until then everyone's supposed to just watch a Wheel of Fortune?
For those people who, like me, understand what manhood is, you don't get in and play a silly boys game at a time when
Oh, you sound like a Republican apparatchik. You clearly work for the old line Republican Party. You're a bigger fool than I think, sir. What do you mean a boys game? What do you mean it's a boys game standing up to a dictatorship? That's a boys game?
It's about power and timing and understanding that your opposition is weak and stupid, which is what...
Oh, you mean Obama is weak and stupid by granting amnesty to a million illegal aliens and getting away with it? Who's the stupid one? Him or the Republicans who sit like schmucks on the sideline and say nothing? Who's the weak one and the stupid one?
Sir,
you should know that this million horde, this horde of 1 million illegal aliens are liable to start voting in elections, even though they're not allowed to. You know that they're going to try and register them to vote. Even you can understand that, right? As brilliant as you are.
I understand all of that. But I also understand Mr. Romney has character.
Yeah, well, I understand Romney's an empty suit, and I appreciate the call. Persuasion is the tactic of the weak, but the weak are rarely persuasive. Persuasion is the tactic of the weak, Mr. Romney, but the weak are rarely persuasive. I want a visceral conservative, not a crazy conservative. I want someone who stands for something, not someone who stands on the sidelines. Terry in Victorville, California, agree or disagree? Do you think Romney should be more forceful in speaking out against this dictatorship?
Yes, he needs to come out swinging. Why are we not calling for him to come out swinging? It takes a pair of you-know-what for a man to step up and come out swinging. Obama has just handed us his head on the platter, and we're saying, no, thank you, we're too polite. How do we get everybody up to come out, call for everybody to just come out swinging?
I don't know. I've been doing it all day long, and this man just called me a boy for doing it.
You came out swinging today, which got me off my... Out by my pool to come in and make the call to say thank you for coming out swinging. Now, how do we get Romney to come out swinging?
Impossible. It's not in his nature. He'll come out singing, but not come out swinging.
Well, thank you for getting me worked up.
No, he'll come out singing. He'll probably sing a Mexican song tomorrow, put on a sombrero to show you how sympathetic he is. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Savage.
They were brought to this country by their parents, sometimes even as infants, and often have no idea that they're undocumented until they apply for a job or a driver's license.
What do you mean undocumented? What's the word that's like an injection drug user instead of junkie? What do you mean undocumented? They're not citizens. They're illegal aliens. They don't belong here. Well, stop with the double talk, the leftist double talk, the changing of the language, injection drug user, undocumented, my partner. I'm sick of it, the revisionist language. I'm just sick of it all. All of it's a lie, one big lie. The man violated the Constitution, violated the law. He can be impeached for this. Whether or not the vote is there is irrelevant. This was the golden opportunity for Romney to step forward and to declare himself as different from Obama on the issue of the illegal alien. And he would not do it for one reason. And that is because the factories, the hotels, and the fields are driven by illegal alien workers. That's correct. The factories, the fields, and the hotels are all driven by illegal alien labor. God bless them for working hard. But not these 800,000 or a million children. I don't see them as working. Are they working? They're not working. Yet Obama says they're all talented and patriotic young people. How does he know that? They're all talented and patriotic, every one of them? Where are the gangs coming from if they're so talented and patriotic? The gangs that are the scourge of so many neighborhoods in this country. You're telling me that amongst this horde of 1 million illegal aliens that Obama's in love with, there are no gang members? Who are we going to rely upon to make certain that the gang members are not suddenly turned into instant citizens? Oh, I'm sorry, Department of Homeland Security. Janet Napolitano, she is going to make sure that this distinction is made. Well, Obama said they're not going to be citizens. Then what are they going to be? They're going to be given jobs? A jobs program? What does that mean? Where's the money going to come from? What about the unemployed people in the United States of America who are citizens? The unemployment rate amongst young African Americans is very high. The unemployment rate amongst poor whites is very high. And yet he's pandering to Mexicans. And we know he's pandering to Mexicans because the president of Mexico came out and thanked him for this. Again, the president of Mexico thanked him for this. That tells you everything you need to know. Of course, anyone who criticizes Obama is called a racist. Listen to clip 21, and you'll listen to the brilliant thinking of the head of the Congressional Black Caucus in clip 21.
We've had a heckler today interrupting the president as he was giving a statement. Everybody knows there is a standard protocol for that. If you wish to throw a question to the president as he leaves the microphone, that's perfectly fine. What's your reaction?
Shut up, you slimy limey. Wait a minute, I don't even want to get up to Cummings. This cretin Bashir should have been thrown off MSNBC a long time ago. This man tried to induce me to come on his show when he was on Nightline. I would never go near him. I knew he was a slime ball. For 2 months, he sent me emails, which I'll release to the media anytime you want to see them. For 2 months, this cretin Bashir tried to get me on Nightline. I wouldn't go on. I didn't trust him. I knew he was a slime ball. I knew there was something snake-like about him. He's the most despicable of the entire pack on MSNBC. Who is he to tell us anything about our laws here? He was nothing in England. He was nothing in England. That's why he wound up on MSNBC. All right, let's move on. Rubio now. Another great hope. The great hope of America, Rubio. Another empty suit. Trenton, and I don't even want to talk about Rubio. Hawaii, Derek, Iran, the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael.
Yes.
Too much pandering, Michael. He panders too much. Took me 12 years to talk to you, Michael. Please don't hang up on me. I was wandering in the forest. You brought me out. This guy Romney, too much pandering to the Latino vote, right?
Yes, right. That's what he's pandering to. Not to the American vote, in plain English. Not to the legal American vote.
Correct. Michael, I'm in Hawaii. I'm in a liberal state. I'm born and raised here, but I see through it. I wander in the forest. I found you when they bombed us back 11 years ago. I never left your side. I've been wanting to talk to you all these years. Now,
Derek, let me. Derek, are you of Hawaiian heritage by any chance?
I'm half and half. I am half Hawaiian, and I'm half Haole, Caucasian. But I am very proud to be an American.
Yes, but by definition, aren't you supposed to be a lifetime liberal Democrat and live in the welfare state? Isn't that what your great governor wants you to do and your great leader from Hawaii want you to do, is to be a member in good standing of the Democrat Party? How
from Hawaii. If you knew Hawaii, Michael, like you do, those things can't be corrected overnight, Michael.
No. Please, let's not talk like that. We still live in a nation of laws, Derek. Derek, I don't know. Do you have an address? I can send a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. If we do stay on the line, I'll send you a nice present. The states that have no state income tax are, and I'll read them to you in case you're thinking of moving, Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, Wyoming. Let's go through them together. The states that have no state income tax are Alaska, I could never live there. Florida, I thought of it, I can't do it. I have a house in Florida, I never go to it. I can't take the humidity and the heat. I just can't deal with it. Nevada, a wasteland. I go there to visit, I can't live there. Impossible. Maybe up at Incline people live, I understand. Tax haven, they live in Incline. Here it's a conservative neighborhood. South Dakota, I don't even know where it is. I was thinking of going there to see the boom. I hear there's a boom in the Dakotas right now from the oil boom, like the gold rush. People are living in tents out there. Texas, possibility. Washington State, can't do it. Too much rain and too much suicide and too much Microsoft. Wyoming, I don't really know. I'm not into the cowboy thing, so I'm stuck in California. I've got too many roots out here. I have no friends but roots. I don't need friends. I'm not 5 years old and in grade school. In grade school, you need friends. A man walks alone. A real man walks alone. You don't need any friends. Friends only want to take something from you. I'll be right back. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen to some of this audio today, including David Plouffe, a spokesmouth for Obama, talking about the national security leaks coming out of the White House and this cover-up.
The book in question has said that no one in the White House provided this information, but we need a thorough investigation.
No, he has not said that. Yeah. David Sanger said that, in fact, he did talk to top White House officials. He said it wasn't leaks, that he's been investigating it for months. He did not say that. He, in fact, said he did talk to people in the White House.
Well, for the book, sure. He's a prominent national security reporter, obviously, who's writing about these important issues facing the country. But there's going to be a very thorough investigation. The Attorney General has spoken to this. Two United States attorneys will look under every rock here. This ought to be investigated as thoroughly as anything can, and we ought to await the results of that investigation.
But I do want to ask you, because you didn't answer my direct question, did the president or any other top official declassify any of the information that appeared in these articles?
No, listen, the president and his national security team, first of all, these are the folks who've waged just a relentless and effective effort against al-Qaeda and its leadership. We've decimated most of the top leadership, including bin Laden. Nobody takes it more seriously than the president of the United States.
Forgive me, sir, it's a yes or no question. Did the president declassify any of this information?
No, of course he did. Of course he did.
He did not?
No.
Okay.
Leaders in our administration, of course they're going to talk about the president's strategic approach to keeping this country safe, our foreign policy. But to suggest somehow that the people that he relies on for advice every day would leak information like this is just absolutely wrong. It's highly objectionable.
Now you must listen to this lunatic, the Congressional Black Caucus Chairman, Representative Elijah Cummings, stating that racism had something to do with a question asked of Obama during a press conference. Racism? What is this, a kingdom?
We've had a heckler today interrupting the president as he was giving a statement. Everybody knows there is a standard protocol for that. If you wish to throw a question to the president as he leaves the microphone, that's perfectly fine. What's your reaction to what's happening here?
What I believe is happening is that there has been a disrespect not only for the president but for the office of the president. And that is very, very alarming. We saw it when Joe Wilson called the president a liar. Our country is better than that. And I think a lot of the same thing is happening with our attorney general. We've got these are two men who are doing an outstanding job. But there are folks who just don't like it. And they've never treated other folks like this. But here they are doing it to these gentlemen.
Is it because they're both black?
I think that probably has something to do with it. And I think the other thing that it has to do with is that they just purely disagreed with their politics, period.
Now you have to hear tepid Mitt Romney talking about the new Obama Amnesty for Immigrants program.
I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered and should be solved on a long-term basis so they know what their future would be in this country. I think the action that the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution because an executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents. I'd like to see legislation that deals with this issue, and I happen to agree with Marco Rubio as he looked at this issue. He said that this is an important matter, that we have to find a long-term solution, but that the president's action makes reaching a long-term solution more difficult. If I'm president, we'll do our very best to have that kind of long-term solution that provides certainty and clarity for the people who come into this country through no fault of their own by virtue of the action of their parents.
Today's show is about Romney King. The reason I'm talking about Romney King is because I've confused Rodney King with Mitt Romney. In fact, Rodney King has been in the news more than Romney has. Here you have the president committing a constitutional violation, granting amnesty to 900,000 or a million illegal aliens, and the number one candidate against him says nothing. Instead, he talks about God knows what. And here's the latest news from MichaelSavage.com. First of all, there's war in the Middle East, a small war, which is that in Egypt, Obama's Muslim Brotherhood has won the presidency, and they've attacked Israel. So Israel is moving tanks closer to the border in the Sinai. What else? Mexico applauds Obama's amnesty plan. No kidding. No Obamacare decision yet today, coming in the next few days. Federal jury finds Roger Clemens not guilty. Top left, Obama pushes Egypt into the dark ages. Read about it on michaelsavage.com. All you idiot liberals, you fools, you idiots, you know nothing. Mexican president thanks Obama for order on illegal aliens. They're thanking Obama for becoming a dictator and courageously granting amnesty to a million illegal aliens who will no doubt trick the system and vote for him. Now, how about trickle-down tyranny? Am I allowed to mention my book? Did I warn you that this is what he would be doing? Yeah, I think I'll tell you about it, because if you turn to trickle-down tyranny, you're going to see that I told you what Obama would be doing. I wrote about it in Trickle-Down Tyranny on pages 17 and 18. I talked about amnesty on pages 38, 241, 254, and 262. I wrote about it on pages 253 to 258, all in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Now, look, if you want to be an ignoramus and put your head in the sand and just listen to the news or listen to occasional talk radio and think you know it all, you're wrong. I'm going to read you something from Trickle-Down Tyranny on what Obama did, and I predicted this a year ago. The book is in the bookstores now. I wrote about Obama's relationship with the radical Latino group La Raza, with which the president shares the idea that our southern border should be eliminated. Here's what the president said in July 2011. He confessed that he'd like to, quote, bypass Congress and change the immigration laws. He added, believe me, the idea of doing things on my own is very tempting, I promise you. Well, he did it, and I went into this in great detail. What you don't know is that we've had a revolution in the United States of America, but they're doing it so slowly you don't even see it going on, or you're so drugged. Did you know that this is an industry going on in this country? Okay, all of this and more on the immigration issue on the show today. But what else? What else is on michaelsavage.com? Revealed, photo of Obama's pot-smoking gang. There it is, the Chum Gang. That's from Punahou High School. Muslim Brotherhood takes over in Egypt. Hamas ordered rocket attack on Israel at request of Muslim Brotherhood, the friends of Obama. Warren, Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts, will not meet with the Cherokee delegation. She claims to have been Indian. Now she won't meet with the Indians. Obama, biggest government spender in world history, says Forbes. Romney panders to illegals, refuses to condemn Obama's amnesty plan. Three churches bombed in Islamic terror zone. Oh, really? Muslims and bombs? Former TV writer punches and kills his poodle. Was arrested after punching his poodle in the head and killing him. Chinese forge ahead with ambitious space program while Obama destroyed ours. FBI and witch hunter proves Zimmerman a racist. That's your new FBI. Wife admits coaxing husband into skydive that killed him. Manhattan real estate tycoon died in a freak parachute accident. I don't know why they call it a freak parachute accident. It just didn't open. What sane person jumps out of an airplane when they don't have to? Unless they're in the military. What sane person would do this? I don't know. I wouldn't. Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. In England, an Olympic race starter's gun banned because it might scare children. Can you believe this? Finally, Tom Cruise and Adam Sandler are washed up at the box office. Nobody will go see the old hacks anymore. Sign up for the Savage Nation's free daily newsletter on the bottom left of michaelsavage.com. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I was stumbling around on the internet today, and I found a source with 35 photographs of Barack Obama as a young man. And I must say, he really looked cool. I don't understand why cool is suddenly a controversial word. He was cool. I mean, black glasses. You could almost see the smoke from his cigarette rising in the air. He was a very cool young guy. I mean, he hung around with nice-looking friends. All of the guys he was with were nice looking. They all slouched and wore dark glasses. I mean, I don't know why they're taking offense to the fact that they say he was cool. So I posted them on michaelsavage.com, where you can find all the news stories of the day. And I don't really want to talk about that right now. I'll tell you what's really intriguing me. I wonder if it's going to intrigue you. The headlines I'll get to. The news I'll get to. But you know what's really on my mind? This election is so darn important that I have decided to come out of semi-reclusive retirement, that is public appearances. I have not appeared in public since 2004. The last public appearance I gave was in 2004 at the then, they call it, I forget what it's called, the Hilton, what was it called, Bill? Does anyone know? The Concord Pavilion, now known as the Chronicle Pavilion. 7,000 paying attendees came out to that event. I drove out on the stage in my red Cadillac. Teddy was on the stage with me. He was a brand new little puppy at the time, a little guy. And because this election coming up is so important, I want to talk about the fact that I have finally decided to come out of reclusiveness after Labor Day, Marin County Civic Center, place I've been to many times before. October, two events in South Florida. Then possibly Times Square in New York City in a theater, Houston, Texas, and other locations. Here's the question for you, the audience. What would you want to see me do on stage? What stage set would you design for my appearance? Which books would you want me to read quotes from? Which bits would you like to see me do? Liberals only listening to the Savage Nation, would you come out to see me live? And if so, why? What do you want to see? Should Teddy be on the stage with me? Any other tips for this live performance on the Savage Nation? Oh, yes, one other question. For those who want to see people who have never seen or heard Michael Savage in person, how would you describe me in one sentence for the general public? If you were asked as an ad copywriter, make believe you're one of the madmen on a TV show, and I come to you and I say, how do you describe Michael Savage to the general public? One line. I'm open to that. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. Here are some of the other topics that we can talk about. They're a little trivial, really. Napoleon Bloomberg in New York City, who wants to end the 32-ounce Slurpee because he hates poor people. As I have said, and I don't know why people haven't picked this up, why stop at banning 32-ounce sodas, Napoleon Bloomberg? Why don't you ban Jeroboam's of wine? After all, your argument, isn't your argument simple? Your argument is that if they get a 32-ounce soda, they're going to get obese from drinking it. Well, likewise, if someone buys a Jeroboam of wine, they're going to get drunk from drinking it. I think you should limit the size of wine bottles to the size that used to be on airplanes, tiny little wine bottles. Because after all, you don't want people to drink too much, Napoleon, do you? I have not made a live appearance since 2004, which is 8 years, which I cannot believe. Time has gone by so rapidly. 8 years is a very long time. You can go to medical school in 4 years. You can go to law school in 2 or 3 years. You can go through college and grad school in 8 years. 8 years slugging it out on radio. I have not done one live performance for many reasons. I'm the only American broadcaster banned from entering the United Kingdom. Think about that honor. I wear it with honor, given what England has become. So I'd like to ask you, if you're going to come to the Marin County Civic Center after Labor Day or South Florida in October, New York City, perhaps before or after the election, Houston, Texas, and other locations, what would you be coming for? What would you like to see Michael Savage do or say on the stage? Why don't you put on your imaginary stage designer cap for a moment and tell the audience what stage set you would envision me having on the stage? And of all the books I've written since 2004, Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny, Abuse of Power, are there any statements, or rather paragraphs, that you'd like me to read quotes from? What bits would you like to see me perform on stage? And liberals only, would you come to see me live, and why? Should Teddy be on the stage with me? Any other tips? Watch MichaelSavage.com for my speaking schedule. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Adam in Pittsburgh, PA, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
All righty, Dr. Savage, I figured I would give you a call, let you know the sentence that most embodies you. I think you are the embodiment of the American dream and American individualism.
Okay, I'll respond to that, because my publisher said to me, what would you write as the subtitle for Train Tracks, which is sort of my childhood stories, which is coming out this October or November for the Christmas holiday, the holiday season, right, where I tell childhood stories, you know, working in my father's store and this and that. I said, how about this for a one-liner? From immigrant's son to radio stardom. How's that one? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that works for me.
I mean, that's the American dream. in the sense from immigrant son to radio stardom. You know, I spent last night for some reason searching archival records for my grandfather's town in Russia. It doesn't exist anymore. It was wiped out by the Nazis and then by the Soviets. There's no record of where he came from. 1,000 years of living in that region, and there's no records of any of my family names. Think about that one. In essence, America is a place for all of us to be reborn, isn't it not?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I'm going to send you a gift tonight, and the gift is a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, the best of the lot of the anti-Obama books. Again, if you'd like to comment on what you'd like to see live, if many of you who listen to this show have listened for 15 or more years and have been to many of my Compassionate Conservative events going back to when I was a local talk show host in San Francisco, and you know what kind of events I have put on, this one's going to be very different. There's going to be no warm-up acts, although I did think of a few. There's going to be no smoke, no mirrors, no bands, no Boy Scouts, no Eagle Scouts, no veterans. It's going to be Michael Savage live for 90 straight minutes. What would you like to see me do? I'm always amazed at my intuition in talk radio. I came on the air today, and I was thinking about it on the way in. You know, everyone knows about the election right now. And I personally think that 90% of the people have made up their mind of who they're going to vote for, honest to God. And for me to beat you up every day, Romney this, Romney up, Romney down, Obama up, Obama down, Obama bad, Obama good, ba-ba-ba-boo. How much can you take of it? I know I wouldn't listen to it after a while. So I want to do other things. So I said to you, because this election is so important, I want to come out of a semi-reclusive retirement, get out from behind the microphone. I haven't been in public since 2004. I did a little thing in the basement of a restaurant, you know, for some supporters. But I'm going to do major league events with one of the biggest concert promoters in the world. After Labor Day is the opening, Marin County Civic Center, then October, two events in South Florida, and then maybe New York City.
Savage.
President Obama said that the Greek elections are a positive outcome for government. Do you believe that? Well, joining us now to give us his views on the Greek election is Jim Roberts, a Heritage Research Fellow for Economic Freedom and Growth. Jim Roberts, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great talking to you this evening.
Well, how do you see the election in Greece? What actually happened there? All they wanted was another bailout.
It looks like the Greek people have pulled back from the anger they expressed at the polls a few weeks ago when they voted heavily for a far left and far right parties. They seem to be sobered up by the potential at this point for a disastrous breakup. There does have to be some changes made in their relationship with the European Union and the Eurozone, but it looks like they're going to take a more reasoned approach at this point.
World leaders are very pleased with the outcome in Greece. Why?
Well, they are relieved, I think, but they know that there's a long way to go to resolve this problem, as it could be seen in the minutes after the announcement of the Greek elections, or the next morning when the markets in Europe opened and the Spanish bond yields went above 7%, and the yields in Italy are also climbing. So people know that they're not out of the woods by a long shot here, and that they need to continue to work on long-term solutions, and especially to reform the welfare state policies that have led to this huge indebtedness that has got them into this mess.
Does this election result help or hurt the world economy? I mean, after all, they're just going to get another bailout.
Well, it's marginally helpful in that it prevents a sort of a Lehman Brothers sort of black swan event, if you might say, so that it gives the world leaders more time. But let's hope they don't just continue to kick the can down the road by throwing more increasingly scarce good money after bad, or just resolve to start printing euros and monetize the debt without addressing the underlying problems. The Germans, of course, are holding out for the fiscal union that should have accompanied the monetary union when the euro was set up, and more control over the spending of the southern European countries. And that's what is going to be required, along with adjusting wages and prices in those countries, if they stay in the euro, to reflect their relatively different and lower productivity levels and purchasing power.
You know, and I both know the new government in Greece is not going to do what's needed and cut back on spending. You know that.
It's going to be tough, as has been seen with attempts in the past. Of course, people have to remember that this so-called austerity is in the context of countries like, you know, Greece, like France and Spain, spending half of their GDP already on government. So, and their idea of austerity is tax increases, which are job killers and economic growth killers. So it's going to be even tougher to do austerity, if that's the word for it, the right way, which is to cut government spending, and it's going to be painful and difficult politically and for the people of Greece and other countries in the European Union.
Well, what needs to be done to fix the struggling European economy, if anything? How about cutting benefits and laying off workers?
There has to be agreement that these the subsidies, the policies that lead to a dependency on government, that has led to a lack of innovation and a lowering of productivity in Europe, a lack of competitiveness globally, that they have to address those issues by reforming these policies that will be connected to cutting the spending rates also. And then there has to be an agreement that any new borrowing by the southern European countries will be monitored and very closely by the more prudent northern European countries. And there will be less borrowing. There's going to have to be an acceptance by the South that their standards of living will drop for a considerable period of time, probably 5 to 10 years, as they make the adjustment and unwind all these toxic assets, these bad bonds that have been issued that can't be paid. So it's going to be a difficult process, but it's one that they're certainly up to doing. After all, they have hundreds of years of experience at doing democracy and free markets. Right, they just have to get back to their roots.
What effect will this election in Greece have on the United States today?
The United States depends on Europe for a lot of our exports, and especially a lot of the profits of some of our major companies. So it's certainly of concern that the Europeans continue to avoid any kind of financially catastrophic decisions, that they continue to be prudent and go about fixing these real problems with real solutions and not just Band-Aids and not more Keynesian stimulus in the name of economic growth, which will not produce that growth. So it's important for the United States to encourage Europe to continue to address these problems, even as we continue to address them with the difficult partisan struggle in the United States over the future of government spending and the role of government.
Jim Roberts, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was good talking to you, and if your listeners would want more information about Heritage Foundation and our work on economic freedom, they could go to our website at heritage.org.
1-800-449-8255. Mark in Sacramento, go ahead, please.
Yes, your stage set. I envision New York, your early years in New York, your years in Fiji, and your years in San Francisco.
What do you mean? You want me to bring a palm tree to the stage? How do I bring Fiji to the stage? What do you mean, bring it to the stage?
Oh, I'll bring Teddy to the stage.
Oh, but Teddy's easy. He's only 10 pounds. But it's very hard for me to bring a piece of Fiji and a piece of Manhattan to the stage.
I was thinking pictures or photographs or something.
You mean like a big blow-up of Fiji on a rolling stage set and talk about that? A roller of New York with the sky, the Lower East Side, the sweltering summers, and a roller of the bums in the streets of San Francisco harassing people.
There you go.
Okay, I'll work on getting some of the bums from San Francisco off the streets and give them a living. What would you like to see me do live on stage? If you were to come there, what would you be coming there for? What would you want to see that you don't hear on the radio? And liberals only. I don't know. I haven't had one liberal call. Wait. Hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements. You head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit, because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's Blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com.
Savage.
Let's go to the callers. Jason in New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael Savage brings a bazooka to a knife fight. That's your one-liner.
That's very funny. Well, I don't want to present myself as some macho, you know, killer kind of guy, because that's, yeah, that's one element to me verbally, but Jason, isn't there something more to me that brings you to listen to me on WOR in New York?
YouTube, your greatest hits have taken down libs. And it's when I'm feeling down in the day, I'll go on there and I'll listen to Michael Savage bring a bazooka to a knife fight. It makes me feel good.
Well, what do you mean? In my archives? Where? Where do you get that?
Just type it. Go on YouTube and type in Michael Savage. You got all your greatest arguments with moronic.
I had no idea that you've given me my show.
I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
Mean the people like me do that? They take the times I slam the libs to the mat.
Oh, you decimate them. And if I'm feeling down in the day, I'll listen. You make me laugh half the time.
So you've given me an idea. I think what we're going to do is archive all of them onto a CD and play them over the loudspeaker out of the speaker system in the auditorium. That would be funny. It's a great idea. Jason, you'd be a good, I wouldn't say promoter, but maybe a good producer. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Thank you. Interesting. Miami, Florida. Jesse, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I like to see South Park to start with, that. In a library setting at a radio station with your couch and caddy.
You'd like to see the stage set as a radio studio with a couch and Teddy? Is that what you said, Jesse?
A library setting in your studio with your couch and Teddy.
Most of my studios are libraries with a couch and Teddy sleeping under the desk. And don't you dare try to adjust the computer. He'll bite your fingers.
Everybody listens to you on the radio, and they picture you sitting in your library at your radio station with Teddy on the couch.
That's interesting. And that's, you know, that's another question. That's a phenomenal question, which is when you listen to me with my gifted voice and my rapier wit, where do you think I am? What do you think I'm wearing? Who's around me? It's an interesting question because radio is a theater of the mind, as has been well known for, well, ever since the medium was really developed. Never mind who invented it. It was not Marconi, by the way. It was not Marconi who invented the radio. He got credit for it, but in the 1960 in Supreme Court did not give it to Marconi. They gave it to, you'll never believe it. Who can name the person who was given credit? Well, you see, there's no such thing as people know answers anymore. They look it up on Google and they call me, so no, it's all pointless. But Marconi used to have the reputation for having discovered radio. But it was based upon the inventions of, who knows the answer? 1-800-449-8255. Michigan Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I got the marquee one sentence for you, and I got a stage skit. But first of all, you got to know I listen to you every night like religion.
Thank you. I drive
across country to see your show. One liberal in your audience, and I wouldn't fly across country because I won't let the TSA thugs touch me. But I think I heard that the
TSA is offering Sandusky a job. I want to talk about the event and your ideas. I'm very excited by it. I mean, coming out of a kind of semi-reclusive world that I've lived in, I'm going to meet my audience for the first time in 8 years. Teddy has gone from puppy to a senior citizen. I can't believe time flies. I mean, we really do mark time in the mirror, our own face, the portrait of Dorian Gray, if you will. And then, of course, our pets age before we do, for good reason. As a very wise woman said to me, and as people were crying because their dog was dead, a dog they love so much, she said, it's the way God set it up, because if we died before them, they'd be abandoned. So, you know, you got to look at the way things work in the world. But I was searching around for the website today where I want you to start going, so you know where I'm going to perform, where I'm going to be live, what I'm doing, michaelsavage.com, trying to get in the habit. And I stumbled upon Portraits of the President as a Young Man, because there's a big controversy of the Congressional Black Caucus saying that anyone who calls him cool is racist. I never thought cool was a racist term, but I have no idea the way other people think. To me, I thought it was a compliment. But if you look at Obama's pictures, he was very cool. Because, for example, in picture number 23, which we linked on michaelsavage.com, he is seen with his friend Siddiqui and his roommate while he attended Columbia in the early 80s. And he is identified as Mr. Siddiqui in Obama's memoir. Obama describes his best friend as short, well-built, and a Pakistani who smoked marijuana and snorted cocaine. Siddiqui was from Karachi, Pakistan, and came to America from London on a tourist visa. Siddiqui, Obama's best friend and roommate, overstayed his visa, becoming an illegal alien. Obama first met Siddiqui when he attended Occidental College in L.A. Obama was living with a group of Pakistani students, interesting, when Siddiqui arrived for a visit. Obama transferred to Columbia and lived off campus with Siddiqui. Siddiqui was not a student and made his living working in restaurants. Together they lived in a drug-ridden slum apartment on 339 East 94th Street. Siddiqui, blah, blah, blah. The apartment was furnished by what they could find in the streets. Obama and Siddiqui would go out together and enjoy the nightlife of New York City. Siddiqui claims Obama stopped using drugs when he arrived at Columbia. Obama eventually moved out when Siddiqui's partying began to interfere with his studies. Well, okay, his handler said it's getting too hot. Time to get away from the illegal alien from Pakistan. That's amazing. I mean, you talk about Romney, and is the worst crime he committed is that he's a Mormon? That's a crime? But having lived with an illegal alien from Pakistan who snorted cocaine, that should be swept under the rug? Hello? That's the world you live in. So, getting back to the world according to Michael Savage, you know the questions. I'm not going to repeat them every time we come back on the air. Let's go to Marilyn in New York. Marilyn, you have a concept for the stage set. What should it be?
I think that you should be sitting on a big red upholstered chair in the middle of the stage, because you're so eloquent, like Pavarotti was, that I think the audience would love to just hear you speak on anything that you would like to say.
You mean just kind of sit there like Orson Welles in an armchair with a lavalier microphone and talk?
Yes, why not?
Well, I'll tell you right now. I've watched enough live performances as they appear on HBO to watch what people are doing. It actually gets me depressed. Older guys wearing undershirts trying to be cool. Forget about it. I'm not going
to
come out like that. Every other word is an F word or a B word or a D word in order to titillate the audience. Never going to happen. I generally never use a dirty word. There's no point to it. I don't need it. I'm not Madonna. You know what I'm saying? But Marilyn, if I'm on stage in New York City, let's say I appear in a theater in Manhattan in October or somewhere around then, would you come and what would you come there to see me do?
To speak. And your knowledge is just breathtaking.
That's amazing. Your husband what?
My husband and I listen to you every night, and you could be his brother.
That's beautiful. Well, I wish that you were my relative. I'd be getting some feedback at least.
Absolutely.
But the problem is my relatives, God bless them all, are red diaper doper babies, all of them. Something happened in the transition from the old country. They never left the old country behind. They're still stuck in the red diaper doper baby mentality. Democrats good, Republicans bad. You know, that's how they think. And you can't change people. They're stuck. They're stuck, Marilyn. Well, I hope to see you. I hope to see you if we make it to Manhattan. It's all up to the God right now. 1-800-449-8255. This is a good caller coming up with a stage set. You know, I'm not a creative guy with stage sets. I don't have the visualization necessary. I really love stage designers' minds. Like, give you an example. Like, you take a show like Magic City, which I've talked about. Most of you have never seen it on Stars. So, you go behind the scenes. I can't believe that this was not really a hotel lobby that they're filming. They show them building the stage set for the lobby for this show. I can't believe the amount of money they spend on stage sets for television shows. In that, think about what I'm saying to you. I'm a performer. After all, I'm in the entertainment business. And what do I have? Do I have a stage set? No. Do I have lighting? No. Do I have directing? No. What do I have? All I have is my mind and my voice. Nothing else. And think about that. Think about this medium. It's probably the most difficult medium in the world for a performer to perform in on a regular basis. I mean, anyone could get up and belch on a microphone or get up at a college and talk about a sports game. I'm not knocking it. But the fact of the matter is, it's a theater of the mind, and the voice has to be used to get your mind to listen to the electrons coming through the speakers into your brain, stimulating your mind. So that's why I'm asking you, the audience, it's a great opportunity for you and for me to talk about the fact that I'm coming out of semi-retirement in the sense of never appearing in public. And I'm going to tell you why I haven't appeared in public in a minute. But I don't know if I really want to get into that. I think you can pretty much put two and two together. I stopped appearing in public after I was smeared by CAIR. I stopped appearing in public after I was attacked by the United Kingdom. I stopped appearing in public for other reasons that I will describe one day in great detail that you'll never believe. If you want to find out about what people do to people and how bad and evil people are, you'll hear it all in a live performance. I can guarantee you'll hear all about what really goes on, what's really going on in my life. So what would the stage set be like? Let's go to New York City. Jay, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. What would your stage set be?
Hey, Mike, I'm not a creative guy, but I could definitely see you doing kind of like a fireside chat theme on a nice...
Yeah, but that's like FDR, fedora and a cigarette holder. That's not me.
Savage.